Hello and welcome to the first iteration of the RMU student-run men's hockey podcast. I'm John Hanna.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And we're going to come up with a name with it. We have Get Schooled as the name of it, but it was off the pipe last year, but we don't have a logo.
Going through a transition phase.
Yes, transition phase, just because why not have Get Schooled if you have a coach's name like Schooley?
Why not?
Yeah. Sorry for the delayed start. It's just been really busy opening couple months to the school year already. But we're glad we can get it done already. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself, Nate?
Well, I'm Nathan Breisinger. I'm a freshman here at RMU, involved in Central Media. I'm part of two RMU radio shows, one on Monday and one on Fridays with my roommates. So, yeah, I'm heavily involved in Century so far.
Nice. So, and I'm John Hanna. I work on a bunch of podcasts. I'm the assistant sports editor at Century. I do stuff for CSC, and I'm also part of the RMU Women's Hockey Podcast with Owen Krupp's Stack the Pads. But that's enough about us. Let's get right into the men's hockey. So, last week they played Bentley. Actually, they closed the season series up against them, sweeping them. Want to run us through that first game real quick?
Give me a second. The first game versus Bentley, the Colonials took that 1-6-4 at home. Big game from Nick Prokusic with two goals for the Colonials. Justin Kapelmaster in net for the Colonials ended up coming up with 32 saves on 36 shots against the Falcons. So Colonials coming off a big win there at home in game one. For them, you know, a couple other players scoring goals, Justin Adamo, Roman Kramer as well, getting on the board, Jacob Coleman, a goal and assist. So,
and that was actually Kramer's first career collegiate point and goal, technically. So good for him to get on the board relatively early in this season.
So, I mean, they're getting scoring from, you know, all up and down the roster. So that's a big plus for them, you know, coming off a season last year where, you know, they struggled here and there and they didn't really, you know, have a good record to finish off the season, so to get these early wins in AHA play is huge for them in this one, in game one versus the Bentley Falcons.
Yeah, it's also good to see them actually putting the puck in the net because they were having issues earlier this year with scoring, a couple 1-2-goal games, so nothing too crazy for them, but it's good to see that they're getting that goal scoring up and down the lineup. And then that second game, they ended up sweeping the Falcons, winning 4-2. Jacob Coleman, Santeri Hartikainen, Aiden Spellacy, and Michael Coyne all getting goals for the Colonials. And they only held Bentley to 17 shots. Bentley scoring to Connor Brassard and Matt Gostkowski.
Again, the defense has, you know, stood stout so far this season. I mean, Kapelmaster, again, has been very solid throughout the year. But one thing to take away from this game, they went 1-for-10 on the power play, which is not good.
It is not.
There needs to be more scoring, which, I mean, Spellacy has been, you know, lighting the lamp on the power play. All three of his goals have come off the man advantage, but they need to do a better job of taking up that opportunity and executing on the power play. You know, they're getting all these chances, and Bentley, you know, taking a lot of penalties. So they need to take care of those opportunities. And then also, throughout the season so far, they've taken a lot of penalties themselves, the Colonials have.
They have. This game was the Bentley series was actually in Massachusetts, so I wasn't there to watch it. But I'm just looking at the box score right now. It was an insane number of penalties in that second game. There were a combined 16 of them, I believe. Yeah, combined 16 penalties.
Yeah, it seems like the Colonials are taking an uncharacteristic amount of penalties so far this season. It seems always a handful of penalties each and every game. And even players have touched on it, you know, talking about them being undisciplined and not being able to stay out of the box.
Yeah, Robert Morris has taken 58 penalties. They have gotten 55 called. Well, the other teams have gotten 55 called on them. So averaging at a 1.73 on the power play and other teams are a 1.48. So that's 1,000 minus. It's like a 9.52, which is pretty good. Or 8.52, excuse me. So, not bad stats. Power play is something you want to be up there, but you mentioned Spellacy's three goals have come on the power play. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves as the season continues.
Yeah, he'll be a guy to continue to rely on the man advantage.
And then the lines real quick, because obviously Derek Schooley likes to change up his lines, so we'll be able to see how this evolves in the coming weeks. But as of the Bentley series, first line of Adamo, Spellsey, Hartkainen. Second line of Nick Berkusic, Grant Hebert, and Jacob Coleman. Third line, Roman Kramer, Mike Coyne, and Luke Lynch. Fourth line, Cameron Hebert, Darcy Walsh, and Garrett Clegg, all three freshmen. And then Nick Lalonde as the extra skater. And then on the defensive pairs, Brendan McKellion and Alex Robert, Sean Giles, Nolan Schaefer, and Brad Stono and Nick Jenny. And in net, it's Justin Kapelmaster and Dylan Lubesmeyer. So I've been here a year. I've seen how Schooley likes to play, so next week, don't be surprised if these lines are completely different. Don't be surprised if, you know, you see Mike Coyne up with Jacob Coleman. Just, that's the way he likes to play. If a player isn't doing his job, he switches it immediately.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to run through different lines, because in Pittsburgh, you see Mike Sullivan likes to do that a lot with the Penguins, you know, switching up lines. It's not a bad thing, but Brendan McCallion on defense has been solid so far this year, including an AHA Defensive Player of the Week just a few short weeks ago. He's been a guy to rely on back on the defensive core for the Colonials so far.
And then in net, Kapelmaster has been lights out. He's top five in the NCAA in both goals against and save percentage. He actually leads in save percentage, fourth in goals against average. So he's been insane in net for the Colonials. I know Francis Murat, who transferred from here last year, is lighting it up in Clarkson, but he was just never able to do that here, which is a bit odd, but it's also a bit odd because they're being defensively sound, but last year they lost Eric Israel, who is one of the best defensemen, one of the best defensemen of the past 5 years for this club, so it's a bit good to see, or it's good to see that the fact that, you know, they're able to build despite that loss.
Yeah, it was a good thing to go and find a gem in Kapelmaster to go out and get him to transfer from Ferris State to come in here and, you know, be pretty much lights out for the most part, you know, being a nationally, you know, recognized goaltender, being the top in goals against average and save percentage near the top. So he's been very impressive to start the season. And as the AHA, you know, season schedule continues, he'll be very important, and he'll be one of the best in Atlantic hockey.
He will be. And for the scratches, as I just want to mention, Reed Cooper, Daniel Mantenuto, Jeff Lawson, Aiden Beck, and Kip Hoffman. I've heard rumors. I don't think they've been confirmed yet, but Daniel Mantenuto is injured. I've heard rumors about that, but I don't know how true they are. I saw him take a big hit a couple weeks ago. I think it was against it was the first Bentley series. I think he took a big hit. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. But over the season so far, what are they looking like scoring-wise?
Nick Prusik coming in at the top in points for the Colonials so far, 5 goals and 7 assists. He's been their go-to guy, lighting the lamp for them. Following him up is Justin Adamo, and Jacob Coleman, both tied with 8 points on the team. 2 goals for Adamo, 6 assists. Coleman coming in with 4 goals and 4 assists. And then Grant Hebert coming in with 7 points following them. So they're getting, you know, besides Prusik with the 12 points, they're getting a mixed, you know, flow of guys, you know, producing for them so far. And that's been a key to this season as they continue to improve in the AHA, going 7-1 right now. So that's impressive for them to continue to you know, find scoring from each and every, you know, part of the roster. You know, every line is important. You talk about that all-freshman line right now. So if they can get scoring from there and the depth of this team, that's going to be very important and very a significant aspect of this team moving forward.
Yeah, it is. And I think that we'll just continue to see the group. Because Brendan McKellion last year, he didn't really put up points. He had, let me check real quick. He had like 5, I think, was his total last year. He's a sophomore. Let's see. Stats last year. He had 2 assists last year. That was it.
That was it.
So he's really been relied on by Derek Scully to be this anchor for this defensive core that's relatively young. I mean, this team in general is relatively young. You don't have many seniors on it. I think you have maybe three. Let's see. Jersey. Okay. Sean Giles, Daniel Mancinuto, Mike Coyne, Alex Robert, Jacob Coleman, Luke Lynch, and Kapelmaster. So that's seven seniors on a team that has about...
And only six skaters, so...
Yeah. So that's... And Kapelmaster's a graduate, technically, so...
And youthfulness is never a bad thing either. To have, you know, that mix of veteran guys, and then you get scoring from the younger guys that are stepping up, and, you know, it lays the foundation work for a team for years to come. You know, you get these guys that are coming in scoring. They learn from people like Luke Lynch, see his leadership, you know, take notes and stuff, and they can improve on that. And, you know, for years to come, it's not just this year where they're already off to a strong start, but it's for years to come that – these young players are coming in, watching these older guys, and, you know, this mix is meshing so far so good for this team.
And the Robert Morris team has – they've received some ranking. Well, sort of. They received one USCHO point.
I did take note of that, so I saw that.
Can this team be ranked at the end of the year? Or at any point this year, excuse me, in your opinion?
I think they could. I mean, throughout their start of the season so far, I mean – it's easy to take note that, they started off the season against a Michigan Tech team who was pretty good. And, you know, the first game, it was only 2-1. They lost by one goal. Yes, in the second game, they did get blown out, but they kept them close. They've taken care of the teams that they needed to beat. For instance, Bentley in the four games they played them, sweeping them. So that was important for them to grab those four wins. Tough loss to Penn State, but they, you know, match up against them later in the season at PPG Paints Arena. So they'll have games and opportunities to continue to improve on. And I can see them, you know, if they sort of, you know, do what they're supposed to and take care of the teams that they need to take care of, they can easily find themselves in the rankings.
Yeah, as of right now, other than that Penn State game, the toughest team they'll play is probably that Arizona State game in early February.
Yeah, and that's in Arizona, so that will definitely be a tough game. I know Arizona State, you know, puts together a tough hockey team, you know, year in and year out, so.
Well, you know who plays for them, right? Lemieux's kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Austin Lemieux, Aiden Lemieux, something Lemieux. But his kid plays, Mario Lemieux's kid plays for Arizona State, so that'll be a fun game to watch. I wonder if he's going to that game. But just a quick look around Atlantic hockey. Robert Morris is currently atop the conference, excuse me, with 21.71, their lone loss coming to Army. Sacred Heart is close behind at 18 points. Tied for third is RIT and Army at 12. And then you have AIC and Air Force tied at 9. Mercyhurst and Bentley tied at 6. And Holy Cross and Niagara at 4. And then you have lowly Canisius the Derrick down at 3. Do any of these teams pose a threat so far to Robert Morris in the conference?
I know Air Force, you know, the next, you know, matchup will be tough for them, but not to look too far ahead, but, you know, this next year's after that, Sacred Heart, that would be, the you know, your toughest opponent so far this season when it comes to AHA play, you know, 6-3 in the conference. So that will be the toughest matchup, I think, coming up soon in early December for the Colonials.
Yeah, and I know that it doesn't show it on the – standings right now, but RIT is always a tough one to play against. There's a bit of a rivalry going back there. They've played each other in the Atlantic Hockey Playoffs couple of the past years. RIT not able to get it done, but those games are always fun to watch. Those games are always tough, and RIT fans travel really well. But you mentioned that Air Force game. One player that the Air Force is missing because of graduation, Billy Christopoulos. He has been a lights-out goaltender for that Air Force team over the past couple years. Last year, 2.24 goals against, .914 save percentage. They're going to miss him in net. That's one of the reasons why they're struggling so early on.
Hopefully, you know, the Colonials can take advantage of, you know, new netminder in there. And we've seen RMU has put up a fair amount of goals so far this season, so if they can continue to light the lamp.
Yeah, it looks like in net it's going to be Zach Larocque, who in seven games played has a 3.57 goals against and an 8.49. So not exactly the best stats in the world, but they're not terrible. Brady Tomlak got 9 points, Matt Pulver 6, Kieran Durgan 6 points as well. So this is an Air Force team that can score, maybe not at the same level as a Robert Morris with, you know, Nick Pukusik with 12 and Adama with 8 along with Jacob Coleman, but they're coming into this game as well on a very hot streak, the Colonials are. Over the past seven games, Jacob Coleman has a point streak, 8 points in those seven games. Nick Pukusik has 12 points in his last six, also on a point streak. And then you mentioned how the power play was pretty poor that second game, but they still have four straight games with the power play goal.
So taking advantage of those, you know, opportunities on the power play is huge for RMU. And, you know, we don't know what Air Force is going to draw up whenever they play them. You know, how many penalties? I mean, so far this season, it seems like there's been a fair amount of penalties for every game that we've seen. So, but it will be important also because the fact you talk about them coming off, you know, they're hot right now, winning four straight. But also, they played a majority of their games recently on the road. You look at Army was at West Point, and then they head to Penn State at University Park. Then to Buffalo to play Canisius, but then they come back to Colonials Arena for that second game, and then they went to Massachusetts to play Bentley. So finally they're back home for a two-game set, and hopefully, you know, they feed off their atmosphere down there at Neville Island at Colonials Arena. So that will be important as they start to, you know, get into their home schedule here.
Because it's also for the Colonials, there's going to be Colonials Fight Hunger Night. So anyone who brings at least 5 non-perishable food items to the island receive $1 admission. So you have to wonder if that sort of discounted ticket is going to bring more people into the stands for this weekend. Game time for both nights, Friday and Saturday at 7:05. What's your prediction for this game, for this entire weekend?
I'm calling a sweep. I'm saying for the weekend, Colonials are going to take both games. I think, you know, they have the momentum right now, winning four straight games. Air Force is sort of in the middle of the pack of the standings right now. But I say Colonials come off. I think, you know, they score a couple of power play goals in both games. I say maybe the first game they win 4-2, and then the second game they sort of dominate them and win 6-2.
All right, I'm going to say Kapellmeister absolutely stands on his head this weekend. I'm going first game is going to be 3-0. Second game, it's going to be a bit closer, but it's going to be 2-0. Colonials get an empty netter at the end to win. Both, they do have some power play goals to keep that streak alive, but that's my guess as to what's going to happen for this weekend against Air Force.
Some good predictions there, but going back to Kapellmeister, he's the X factor throughout the season. He just is. He's proven, though, to be a top goalie in, you know, the nation right now, and if he continues to stay hot, look out for this Colonials team.
Yeah, there's no telling where they can go. Because I think that Kapellmeister, I talked about it last year. You weren't here, obviously, but the reason that the Colonials weren't so hot last year is because Marat, he just wasn't the same last year. He had, you know, not his same career stats. Let me just pull those up right here. Let's see. Go.
And honestly, you can have, you know, strong goal scoring, you know, any given year. But if you don't have a, you know, a strong defense and a really good goaltender, you're not going to have a really good chance to go far, you know, in any season. So having a good goaltender and Kapellmeister taking over for the Colonials this year has been huge. So
here we go. So his previous the year before last, a 2.56 and a 9.17. That year, he had a 9.08 save percentage and a 2.88. So it's a marked increase going from averaging basically 2.5 to almost 3 goals a game. That's not really what you want from your supposed starting netminder. But with Kapellmeister, I think the Colonials are in very good hands this week, this entire season. It'll be interesting to see what Derek Schooley does over the offseason, what players he brings in, if he thinks, you know, Dylan Lubismeyer or Reed Cooper is, in fact, the answer in net. But that'll be interesting to see. But I'm John Hanna.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And we'll see you not next week, because next week is Thanksgiving. We'll see you in 2 weeks here on we'll hopefully get a logo for Get Schooled. But have a great rest of your day, and go Colonials.